The parsha from Kruh Mizimas Haaretz. Yaakovinu says to take from the fruits of the land, and Rabbi Nachman says that Zimas Haaretz means that they're in the Gunim of Eretz as well. Kruh Mizimas Haaretz to bring to Yosef Atzadik and Mitzrayim and Golas. To bring the Nagunim of Eretz as well, Kruh Mizimas. We should be zeichet to sing the Gunim of Eretz as well and Eretz as well Bukov.
Amen.
I want to thank my dear friends, David and Shoshana. And I look forward every year this masiba that we have for Chanukah. There's a certain masikus, no, Purim is wild. At Chanukah, there's a masikus. It's like the shaman. There's something so gentle and sweet and good about Chanukah and about the masiba of Chanukah. And gentle and sweet and good is exactly what Shoshana and the David are all about. And the Shachas, Chaim Shmuel, Henry, my dear friend, Beverly, the whole mishpacha, should have roiv nachas and simcha, that every single inch of this house should be filled only with simcha, nachas, and bracha, may we ask Mashon.
Amen.
Are you able to hear? It's okay? Yeah, it's all right. One of the zmiras of Shalshudas is Kelmistater. Kelmistater is by one of the Talmidim, Rabbi Avraham, a Talmud from the Ramak, from the Talmud Dvar. it's written according to the Seder, the spheres. It's very, very, very difficult and deep and beautiful. But the sphere of Bina, the Lashnis, Rechayvais Anahar, Nachle Emuna, Mayim Amukim, Ish Yidlan, Ish Tvuna Yidlana, Nachle Emuna, Nachle Emuna, Rivers of Faith, Nachle Emuna. Everybody here knows that one of the kavanas of Chanukah, of the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, that Lahadlik Ner Chanukah is Yoisius Nachal, Lamed, Lahadlik Ner Nun Chanukah Ches, Yoisius Nachal, Navshenu Chikso Lashem, Nachle Emuna. The Yontav of Chanukah, like rivers of Emuna, Nachle Emuna. Choyvois Anahar, Nachle Emuna, Mayim Amukim, the waters of Chanukah, the Torah of Chanukah is so deep. Ish Tvuna Yidlana, one has to be a person of Bina. To be somebody that has this midah of Bina, to be able to draw from the deep waters, from the expansive river, from the Nachle Emuna of Chanukah. Ish Tvuna Yidlana. But on Chanukah, the whole Yontav of Chanukah is B'nei Bina Yemei Shmoy Nakavu Shira Unan. Even simple Jews like us, when it comes to Chanukah, Hashem lifts us up to a place of B'nei Bina Yemei Shmoy. That for 8 days we were able to have a little bit, a taste of this world of Bina, of Laos of Love, I spoke about it. This morning, a little bit, I think it's going to be on, I don't know which night, the little video thing, but the Indian of Chanukah, Nachle Emuna, Mayim Amukim. But on Chanukah, we're able to be people who have a little bit of a taste of loss of love, of our understanding that's going to be at the end of time. B'nei Bina Yimei Shmoyna Kovu Shira Anon. Especially by the fifth candle, which by the Chassidim, Bechlal, Befrat, by Chabad Chassidim, the fifth candle is the highest, highest candle. It's the Inyan of Hoyt. And everything that I'm going to say now is the Inyan of Hoyt. I'm not going to talk about in a way that's openly about Hoyt, but in a way that B'nai Bina will understand this Hoyt. And Davkita tried to say something very, very, very poshut. Very poshut. A whole Indian of Chanukah, Bechlal, by the Hadlakia, by the candles, is a noisei hafachim. There are such contradictions. In the world of Emunah, in that world of Bina, V'choyvei Sadnahar, there are no contradictions. Let's talk about one contradiction. And the Poskim and the Achrayim and everybody's Yishayim and Achrayim are tumbling over this. Everybody here knows that the din is that you have to put oil in the menorah, that the menorah should be able to shine, the candles should be able to be lit and to shine. Mishatishka chama, ashatichle reglan hashuk, for the shira of time, for that shira of time, the Chanukah candles have to be shining, have to be lit. Nevertheless, there's a machlekes in the Gemara. In the sugi of Chanukah, but you all know that lahalacha we pass b'mekavsa ein zokikla. That means that if you light the candle for 1 second, mamish, for a half a second, it shines for a half a second. And kavsa, and it's extinguished. The din is, we paskin, it's machlokes, we paskin, ein zokoklo, that you don't have to light it again. Say that the Ramah brings down, somebody wants to be machmir, it's good to be machmir, without a bracha, to light it again, it's fine. But Miyuka din, everybody knows, that a kov says ein zokoklo. That even if it was only shining for a mamish a second, ein zokoklo. You mekayim the mitzvah. You mekayim the mitzvah. You don't really have to light it again. As long as you put in the oil that was required, and there was enough to be able to burn for the required amount of time, the din is that even if it goes out after a second, ein zokoklo. Now speak. You did what you had to. You don't have to be able to light it again. The nice thing that we have from tzaddikim like that, from tzaddiki Elyain, they say from a few tzaddikim that by the Chanukah licht, that it was time, and they made all the hachanas. You know, the tzaddikim made such hachanas with the wicks, preparing the wicks into oil, and it was mamisha avoida with nikunim, with bechias. It's a big avoida to prepare for the Chanukah candles. And there are quite a few stories of tzaddikim, I think from the Divrei Shmuel, from Slonim, other tzaddikim, that, you know, it was crowded by the tzaddik, by Chanukah candles. And when it's crowded, then there could be sometimes accidents. And he made all the hachanas, he spent half the day making the hachanas. And he made the brachas. Mamash, the brachas were a fire themselves. And then he lit the candles. And it was just about to be Haneris Halalu and all the other piyutim and zmiris and telum and all that follows the lighting of the candles. And there was a little boy that knocked over the entire menorah. And everything broke and spilled and fell. And everybody just held their breath. And that little boy was so frightened. And the tzaddik looked at him with such a smile and he said, "Ah, my whole life I wanted to be mekayim the halacha of kov sein zokoklo. I wanted to be mekayim this halacha of kov sein zokoklo." He says, "No, I'll say that the Ramah says it's kedai to, okay, we'll, in a little while we'll fix up, we'll light again, but don't worry, it's a mechayi to be mekayim such a halacha, dinu shulchan aruch." We lit the candle, kov sein zokoklo. So we understand that the halacha means that the gedder of hadlakas neiros, and here there's a lot in the lomdus of the sugya of Chanukah, but we see that what's mezgala in this mitzvah of Chanukah, of Ner Chanukah, is that a person has to make his ishtadlus, but kol koychei to do what he could do, to see to it that it has the ability to last for the half hour, whatever that is, that time, that it has the ability to last for the shiur of time. Vidaya. As far as the result is concerned, as far as whether or not it worked out, and it was burning for the hour or two or three, is it lo inyan shelcha? Right? It's not our inyan. The avoida is to light the candle, and at that moment that you're lighting it, you put everything into it, like that tzaddik did. And the oil, the candles, the wicks, everything is mamish set up. And there's all of that fire and all that excitement that should go, that should work. But sof kol sof, kovsa, if it doesn't turn out the way that you were hoping, if it doesn't turn out according to how you planned, the din that we paskin in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch is ein zokoklo. Ein zokoklo. Now everybody knows that Chanukah means chinuch. The Bnei Yisrael and other tzaddikim say that Chanukah is a chinuch l'dayrus. That means that Chanukah took place at a time when Nevuah, when that clarity, that energy of Nevuah was already disappearing. It was already gone. It was just, there were sparkles of it. Little sparks. But it was disappearing from our lives. And therefore we see that Bechlal, there was such a stimas halev, like when Yaakov Avinu died. The inayim, the eyes, the hearts of the Jewish people had become so closed because of that disappearance of God's presence, revealed presence in our lives. And therefore, the Nes of Chanukah is not Roy Likosev, it's not written, we don't have a Megillus Chanukah. There are from Chitzain, but we don't have in Tanakh, like we have in Megillus Esther. We don't have in Ksuvim, we don't have the Giluim of Chanukah, it's Nairoi L'Kosev. So all the Tzaddikim tell us that the Inyan of Chanukah is a Chinuch L'Dairus. It's somehow a way to educate us. Chinuch is a Lashon of preparing. Chanoich L'Nar Al Pi Darkai, Chanukah Samizbeach, to inaugurate, to prepare, to get ready. That Chanukah was a way of getting us ready for the long, cold galus that was ahead, the end of which we're in right now. It was a way to prepare us. And the Navi describes galus in such a way of Rani Akara Loyalada. Rani Akara Loyalada, galus is Akara Amitsias, a feeling of Akara Loyalada. Akara lo yalada. An akara, you know, means a woman who lo aleinu is unable to bring children into the world. Akara lo yalada. We're learning in Emek HaMelech, we've been learning Evan Ezra and the sugya of Puravu, the first simon in particular. The whole inyan of a person tries, makes ishtalus, wants to have children. What's the mitzvah of Puravu? Sof kol sof. Sof kol sof, you could try, and people want to have a child, but there are many, many people in the world who can't have children, and who live through this world, and who pass through life without that simcha of hearing children, laughing, and of crying with them, and playing with them, and having so many sleepless nights over them. That's galus. Akara lo yalada. The nevu of lost love is Rani akara lo. So the pasuk says, Ram b'nei shomeima b'nei pu'ula. Gemara says, Chazal say that during the years of barrenness, of emptiness, we didn't realize how much we really did give birth to. We didn't realize how much we really did accomplish. But the Yisrael HaDavar is very clear, and this is the only nekuda I want to make right now for this chaskus of the fifth candle. Is what Chayit really means. Chayit is the longest night of the year. You know that? This night is the longest night of the year. It's the most hours of darkness, the night. The night of Chayit. The Yerida, the descent into darkness at this time, is the deepest there is. It's the very end of the month of Kislev. All of our Yom Tovim at the beginning or the middle, this is the very, very, very end of Kislev. And everything is starting to get cold and the last leaves are falling off the tree. What does it mean, Akara lo yalada? So, people have children. Let's say the family is blessed and they have children. And the parents put every ounce of energy into those children. And all of the dreams of the parents all of their dreams are in those children. And lo yalada. The children didn't turn out the way that you wanted. Didn't turn out the way you wanted. Sometimes the child's bichlal, not Shema Mitzvahs, Hashem Yirachem. A child turned out to be somebody that's difficult and angry. That's also lo yalada. You understand? It's not only if you can't have children. Golus means even if you have the child, but the child is not what you were dreaming about, what you wanted. That's called lo yalada. People go under the chuppah. They're meshuggah, you know, in love. They want to get married. They can't wait. The parents say, "We're begging you to wait another 2 weeks." They say, "No, no, no, no. It has to be. The chasna has to be now. We can't wait another 2 weeks." And then you see them. You see them a year or two later, and they can't wait for a get. You say, "No, give it another month. Go to therapy." "No, no, no. It has to be now. The get has to be now." So all of the dreams that they had, that this was going to be something, you know, that's going to be written up in books and in movies and so on. All of that was lo yalada. Lo yalada. Didn't you ever feel that way when you put in like an hour or two or three and a sugi in the Gemara? And it's hard for you to find that time. You're a busy person. It's hard to do all the things you have to do. And you put in those hours into the Gemara, and then it just didn't work out, the sugi, you know? It didn't work out. Sometimes a person put like a half a day into a sugi, and then they go to hear a shiur on the sugi, and after 3 minutes, the chavrusas look at each other, and they go, "Oh, yeah, it was all wrong." It was all wrong. Yeah. Everything was wrong. So there's the feeling, of course, there's a Hamelis in Torah, and there's a Schar of Talmud Torah, and you're Isaac in Torah. But the feeling is a feeling of Golus, of Akara Lo Yalada. I worked so hard on the Gemara, but I didn't give birth to anything. There's this overall sense of Golus, of my efforts that are sometimes a yegia of hevel v'rig. That it wasn't, it didn't end up. I lit something, I lit a candle, and it went out. God forbid when somebody dies, when someone happens chas v'chalil, parents raise a child, and the child, something happens to the child. So even though you had 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the parents had nachas in this child. But when they're at the cemetery, when they're at the levaya and they're burying that child, the feeling is akara lo yalada. I put in a certain shiur of love. I put in a shiur of care, of love into this child, that was much, much more than Mishetishka Achama Ashetichle Regal Manashuk, you understand? It was more than a half hour's worth of love that I put into this child. I put my entire being into this child. And then you don't know what happened, and you're putting the dirt on top, and someone's saying, "Skalu Skalu Shara." Lo Alayna. But that's what Golus is. That's what the Navi is saying. But the whole Golus is a Metzius of Akara Lo Yalada. A feeling of Kavsa, that hopes are extinguished, that dreams go out, that disappointments. You know, I had an interesting thing. There was a Bacher in Yeshiva, and the Bacher was very, very strong in learning, and he wanted to stay in Yeshiva. His father's a very, very wonderful person. I got to talk to a little bit. The father, this was all a conversation that was taking place during the summer, and the father's a very, very successful person, some kind of stock thing, I don't know, what kind of thing it is. But what I understand is that this kid is a kid. This bacher has such a knack for this malacha that the father was telling me, first the bacher called to ask me about it, this bacher was making, I'm not exaggerating, it's something like $1 million a week. It was crazy, some crazy number. Because he had and it only had to be till 12, 1 o'clock or something like that. I don't know the hours. He can make like every day, 50,000, 100,000. I don't know, it's a crazy number. And the bacher called me. He said that he really wanted to stay in yeshiva. By this man, he wanted to start yeshiva. And he didn't want to be Isaac in this anymore. Then he says, I wanted to ask him, like, how do you do this? But the bacher says that he really loves learning. He wants to learn. And we had this whole conversation, and I said to him that, you know, we were talking about the hours and how, because the father, you know, could be that he just takes off. He can go to, if he starts learning earlier in the morning, he could, because it's during those hours of the shiur. It was a whole thing with the schedule. But I said, right now, your avoid in life is to be learning Torah. You're a young person. Your avoid is to be in Beis Medrash. And then the father called me up. He was very nice. The father called me up and he explained to me, like, he said it like it took him like a half hour to say that I'm crazy, you know. and that, you know, he's able to get up early, he's very conscientious. Well, we had this whole conversation. Meantime, I met this father now at a simcha the other day. And I said to the father, you know, whatever learning your son's going to do, it's nitzchi. It's mamish for his entire life. It's forever. I don't know how this works with the mamon. It's like so much and so fast, and the whole thing was strange. Anyway, I met him at a simcha the other day, and he told me that the whole thing fell apart, mamish. And he's learning, and the whole thing fell apart, isn't it? I hope he was able to save something. I don't know, but it fell apart. But that's what Golus is in so many ways. Mamonis is the least of it. Money is the least of it. Anybody who's a little bit of a ben bina, a little bit of a baal seichel, knows that money is the least of any of these things. So what's the din of kavsa ein zakuklo? What's the chinuch that it gives a Jew in Galus? In the second parak in Pirkei Avos, the Lashon is much more familiar to us. The Lashon is loyal lach am lach ligmar venat ben khoyn di bot mi man lo lach am lach ligmar means the gemar, the completion of that, that's the Baruch Shalom's business. The Baruch Shalom's in a world that's called oz egmar b'shir mizmar, oz egmar. Hashem is, what we're learning about that in the piece from Rav Nosson this morning, which kedai to listen to. If I know if it's up yet, to get it up there. A piece of Nosson that's filled with tremendous, tremendous chizik mamish. It's very important to listen to this, Reb Nosson, to learn it. Shiluch HaKain. Hashem promised Am Yisrael, and he promised each individual Jew, trust me, I started the union with you, I'm going to finish it. It's going to get done. How's Egmar? Lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. Lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. It's not your inyan of how it ends up. The Baruch Shalom says, that's my inyan. Az egmar b'shir mizma chanukas mizma. It's going to end up with the third Beis HaMikdash. It's going to end up good. Our lives, Am Yisrael, it's going to be good. But lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. Einat ha-ben chorin li-bad lo mimena means that the job of a Jew in this world is to put in the oil, to put in the kaiches, whatever he's able to put in those kaiches, that fire should be able to burn and make it to the end. To give everything you can to your kids, to give everything you can to that blood gemar, to give everything you can to your spouse, to do everything you can for your friend, to do everything, to put in the oil that's needed. This whole Indian Tachle Regel Menashuk is connected very much to the Gidev tonight. regal and shuk, and shuk is like a shaki ishi, it's the leg, which is hide, and netzach and hide. The avoida is to put in all of the koiches that you can. And if chas v'chalila is extinguished, because sometimes a strong wind comes and blows out that candle. And if that wind comes and the candle is extinguished, or if somebody accidentally knocks over the menorah, like we often do in our lives, that we try to do good things and then we knock over the menorah, we usually blame it on somebody else, on the kid that knocked it over, on the wife that knocked it over. But sometimes we knock over the menorah ourselves. But the din is kov, says Ein Zalkut La. That's all the Baruch Shalom asks of each and every one of us, is to do our best to try to light a healthy candle. And la lecha malacha lidmar. And that's the chizuk of the night of Hoyt. That the highest, highest light of Atzilus descends into our lives and goes all the way to the lowest, lowest place, which is the time of Hoyt. It's the longest night of the year. You know, by this candle, Beis Hillel begins to light more candles than Beis Shammai. You know that? By this candle, it's the first night where Beis Hillel starts to win. By Beis Hillel, there are more candles now than Beis Shammai. Tonight. Until now, Beis Shammai had more candles. That's din. That's chayshach. It's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is light. Beis Hillel is ahava. Beis Hillel is chesed. And on the night of Hoyt, Beis Hillel begins to light more candles than Beis Shammai. The light of Hillel, of Hu Yeluch Al Elokim, of Harofei Lishvoi Leiv, as the Oisi is Hillel, that light begins to shine in a very strong way. So let me tell you a story. Last Friday night, I was zeichet to be with my wife in Yerushalayim, with Shifi and Yudahaya, little granddaughter Tetzah Gittel. And after davening Friday night, they have on the bench outside of the shul all these different alonim, these different gilyonis, you know, they're like 20 different newspapers. I don't mean news with the news, I mean newspapers with the Torah. This one's from Chassidim, this one's from Chabad, this one's from the Misnachim. You can see them like arguing with each other on the bench. All of these magazines are like having an inyonim with each other on the bench, you know. The Sfadim have also, they put a pile. In other words, everybody passes by, puts down their pile on the bench, and then people afterwards take, and there's one that I happen to love very, very much. It's a combination of the Misnachlim and Chassidim. It's called Karvei Lech. You ever see it? How much a beautiful thing. So that one I take. And when I was reading it a little bit, Matzah Shabbos, last Matzah Shabbos, on the cover was the picture of a tzaddik that's very little known about this tzaddik. I heard of him, but I don't hear about him. In Yerushalayim, you have a wonderful, wonderful tzaddik, the Talmud Rebbe, Zogazun Zayin. Some of you know him. I was able to spend some time with him last year. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. A tzaddik, he understands people. Mamish, he gets it. A lot of American chaver go to him. He speaks also fluent English. A real, real special person. So he's a grandson of Rabbi Yochanan Twersky, the Talmud Rebbe's Chosid Yonlein. This Rabbi Yochanan was an Ish Pella, an Ish Pella. I heard a little bit about him. I remember hearing that when people sometimes came to him with tzaras, he would all of a sudden he'd take his hat off and he'd start to do somersaults. And they saw all kinds of yeshuas like that. That was his Indian. He never explained to anybody what that was. There's a nice like that with a piece of etzna, you might remember. But he started to do somersaults, to bring Shemayim down to them. He would do somersaults. There are other things about him that are very unusual things. But the trademark of Rabbi Yochanan, the Talmud Rabbi, was humility beyond belief. Mamish beyond belief. His humility. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was b'yedidus with him. Gedolim Yerushalayim held him to be an Adam Godel Ma'oid Shas Poskim. He acted like a simple person. And when he would, sometimes they would say, he would hear somebody saying, oh, something you're learning, and he heard it, and he made a little bit of a correction. And they were in the spell, how he knew that, and he said, no, it was in the chayk, I saw it. It was in today's chayk, I don't know the Gemara. He would always cover everything up, this tzaddik. Now, he actually grew up in America. He was born in Europe. And as a little boy, he had to leave his very bed over there. And his father brought him to, the old Talmud Rebbe, brought him to America. And he spent the years, like from the time that he was maybe a year or two old, I don't know, until he was around 16, 17, he was in America. He himself wanted to go to Yerushalayim. In those years, they didn't have, Kerem B'Yavne and Shalavim, and they didn't have... Beis Yisrael and all the Shragi and all the other places. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he left his family, and he spent years in Eretz Yisrael. Then eventually he came back and he was in Canada. He had a little bit of Medrash. He never had much of a Chassidus, a few people. And he had in Canada, in Montreal, I think Montreal, maybe Toronto, I'm not sure. He had a bit of Medrash there. But the final part of his life, he returned to Eretz Yisrael. Must have lived in a very, very quiet way. There's a lot to talk about this tzaddik, Rabbi Yochanan from Talmud. But this is what I wanted to tell you. He used to speak a lot about how every Jew, as the Sfarim says, that every Jew has a connection to a particular mitzvah. Because the shorish of his neshama is from that mitzvah. We see this already in Chazal, over my Zoytfer. We spoke about this many, many times. That a person has a certain connection, that he's Meshuga for that Indian, that mitzvah. The whole shorish of his existence comes from that. So, he used to say that all the time. And then somebody asked him, and Rebbe, what's your mitzvah? So he said, my mitzvah is a Drabon, it's not a Deraisa. So what is it? He said, Chanukah. Chanukah candles. That's my mitzvah. And they realized that. People already intuited that. They knew that because they saw that generally when he did things, it was very, very covered. Even the way he davened, it was like he didn't show on the outside anything. But when it came to lighting Chanukah candles, especially the first night, he mamish couldn't hold back. He couldn't hold back. He couldn't keep that disguise. He couldn't keep the mask on. And they saw in him an eish of fire, mamish, by Chanukah. And he said, that's my mitzvah. So it was the last Chanukah of his life. That year, I think it was Tavshin Lamed Tes. That year, 1979, that year, Chanukah came out like this year, that the first candle was Sunday night. And he was in some sort of a nursing home, something like that. And the gabbai, he was already very, very weak. And the gabbai asked him if he wants to light Chanukah. He'll bring the menorah from the house. If he wants to light Chanukah, then he said we have rishus for the rabbi to light here in the room. And the Rebbe says, of course, to bring the menorah. So the gabbai, his name is Rebellia, took care of it, and he came back Sunday, and he knew when the Rebbe usually would light. It was at a certain time, a little bit later than usual, than most people, and because he made all kinds of achanas. And by the time Rebellia got there, they told him, he walked into the room, and there was some family there, and they told him that The Rebbe already said, he already said, Haneiros Halalu and Moz Tzur. He already said Yoshua Seisus seven times around Tzadikim. He already said, whatever they say in Chernobyl, you know, the Avoid, he already said all of the stuff. And he really was singing Zemirus. So the Gabbai had a Chalisha Tzadaz, like that, he messed up. And he went over to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I brought the Rebbe, I thought it was regular time for lighting when the Rebbe lights. I've been lighting with him every year, you know. And the Rebbe smiled. He said, No. That's the time to light. Good. So they didn't understand, like, why did they say all the stuff before? So they set it up, and the Rebbe made Amish. He was besaif. He was at the end. And he made the brachas, all three brachas. It was the first night he made all three brachas, the way he always made. Even though he was sitting in the bed or something, he made all the brachas. It was unbelievable. And then they were waiting for him to say, Hanei Osalol. Gornish. He's just sitting and looking at the candles. And then they asked him, Rebbe, are you okay? Hanei Osalol, Mosur. He didn't say, Shangazup, I already said it. He didn't say anything. Then his daughter, her name is Gittel, and the daughter asked him to give, she brought the money there, the Eniklach came there to give Chanukah geld, to give out. He didn't say anything, he just looked at the candles. They asked him different questions, if he's okay, if something is wrong. He's just looking at the candles. He didn't talk. He didn't say another word. He didn't go to sleep. He was watching the candles. They were burning for quite a few hours. And the second that the last candle went out, he gave his soul back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He died. When the candles were extinguished. They told him that he died. So he left the world in such a way. The first night of Hanukkah. It's his yahrzeit. The first night of Hanukkah. He left the first day of Hanukkah. He left the world in such a way. And during the Shiva, the family and people who were visiting were trying to understand what that was, that what happened that night. And finally there was an old chassid that was there, and he says, Akasha, are you asking Akasha? I know exactly what happened. I listen to this, it's amazing. Why didn't he talk? What happened? So this chassid said, don't you remember that in the past, for years and years, on the first night of Chanukah, that the Rebbe would always tell over Ramaisa from the Tal Chaim. Tal Chaim was the brother of the Havis Yisrael from Vizhnis. Reb Chaim Atonye, he was from a big, big, big tzaddik. He used Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer called Tal Chaim, the brother of the Havis Yisrael. Don't you remember that the Rebbe would tell over Amaisa how that tzaddik, the Tal Chaim, how he was so completely dovuk to the inyan of Chanukah, to the candles of Chanukah. And that at one time by the first candle, the Tal Chaim, before he lit, he asked a question of the Chassidim. That might sound like a silly question, but he was a Goyen Olam, and it came from a big place. So he asked the Chassidim, this is what the Rebbe used to say, or the Talmud Rebbe say over every Chanukah, This Tal Chaim, he asked the Chassidim, I don't understand. Why doesn't a person who's able to, why doesn't he make a Shechayon right before he dies? That he makes a Shechayon going, leaving the guf to be able to go into a new world, into the Eidl Mamas. He should be able to make a Shechayon when the Eidl Mamas would have brachas, but over here you can make a bracha. So it should be that Atot, right before a person leaves the world, if he's able to, then he has his Seichel. That a person should say, Shech Yonam Kimal, I'm done with this sugya, and now I'm going to the Eidl Mamas. You should really make a Shech Yonam. He asked everybody, he said, why don't you make a Shech Yonam? And he said, why don't you make a Shechiyonah before you die? To be free of the guf and to be able to be in that world. You should make a Shechiyonah. And they all, the chassidim went, didn't say anything. And the Rebbe just went and he made the brachas and he lit the first candle. And after he lit the neirs and he said the tefillahs, he died. In other words, after he said the Shechiyonah, he died. And the Talmud Rebbe used to say over this ma'aseh from the Tal Chaim, aschus, to say like that, a Shechiyonah. He made a Shechiyonah to come to the next world. He made a Shechiyonah. And he left the world in such a way. When the Chassidim couldn't answer the Tal Chaim, he said, I'm going to find the ready innate so how to do this. And he did. He said, I'm going to find an Eitzah how to do this. And he said the three brachas and he dropped dead. He said, I'm going to find an Eitzah. And the Talmud Rebbe would say over this Mice every year, Chanukah, by the first candle, he would say, oh, am I Mekana the Tal Chaim Anais? And he was able to say Shechiyonah. At the end, when his soul was extinguished and his life was leaving him, it wasn't the end, it was just the beginning. He was able to make a Shechiyonah. He said, I'm so Mekana. Some kind of the Tal Chaim that's on it. So he said at the Shiva, the Seed said, so the Rebbe already had told us that his greatest mitzvah that is in the world, that his shurish that he came from, was Ner Chanukah. That's who he was. And all he wanted was to be able to make a Shechiyonah. And he didn't want that there should be any hefsek after he made a Shechiyonah. That's why he said all of the Ner Salah. He said all of the piyutim. He said all of the tilim. He said everything before. And then as much as everybody tried to ask him, to talk to him, to get him to say something, he refused to open his mouth. He sat and stared at the candles. The last words that came out from his mouth were, Shechiyonah v'kiyamon v'yigirah l'zman hazeh. And those two tzaddikim share the same yahrzeit the first day of Chanukah. It's a ma'aseh. It's a merdeka ma'aseh. I read that in that Gilyon. You hear the ma'aseh of Kofsa, Ein Zokuk Lo, that in a person's life, it happens that you feel that you're mamish at the end. But if you're connected to the Nachle, Muna Rechoyves, Anahar, Nachle, Muna Maim, Amukim, Ish Tvuna Yidlana, Ish Tvuna B'nai Bina Yimei Shmoina, if a Jew is connected to the Or of Chanukah, then the Nachle, Muna, to Nafshenu Chiksel Hashem, to Nachal El Yoin, if a person's connected to that, so then he knows that even mamish, when something in life looks like it's finished, it's done, kavsa, he's able to make a shechiyonah kimali yomazazeh. It only means that Hashem is getting me ready to enter into something that's new, and that's great, and it's much bigger than anything that was in the past. That's the chinuch of Chanukah. There's no such thing. There's no such thing that something is, that the parish is finished. As long as you and I do our best to put in the oil, Hashem promises each and every one of us and all of Am Yisrael, I promise you, Gamarti Egmor Nitzachti Anatzerach, I promise you that in the end it's going to be good. In the end everything is going to be, all that you put into that child, all that you put into your friend, all you put into yourself, into your wife, to your kids, everything in the end, Ozegmar, it's going to get done. Hashem promises, it's going to get done. Your job is to put that in. What happens to it in this world before your eyes? Ein Zokuk Lo. Ein Zokuk Lo. That's not your union. That's my union. Hashem promises, I'll take care of my union. You do your job, I'll do my job. I'll finish the union. You started, I'll finish. You should be Zeichem as Hashem. It's already a long time. And there have been many, many hearts that have been broken and so many disappointments. So much sorrows and so much darkness. Hashem as well should help us that now, that when we made the Shechiyonah by the candle the other night, that Shechiyonah should take us not into something Chalila, another stage of Golos, another stretch of time. It should take us to the beginning of something great. This Chanukah should be the last Chanukah in Golos. It should be the beginning, to take us to the beginning of something that we never, ever, ever dreamt of. And that all of the things that we did dream of, it's going to be more, and we're going to be able to see it, Bez Hashem. Oz Egmo, B'Shir Mizmo, the Chanukas, and the Tveach, the Glash of Amitis, maybe I'm not making a mistake.